Wow, what a morning so far. I was wondering when I selected the hymns whether you would enjoy the hymns that we haven't sung for a long time, and especially the one that we just sang, Rescue the Perishing. Don't know about you, but I can remember it when I was a kid, 5, 6, 7 years old, and we sang it. Can you remember it that far? We actually grew up with that. How special, all you with your singing talent this morning. Thank you, special gathering. Thank you to our choir. Well, you just provide us with so much spiritual nourishment, and we are deeply, deeply grateful. Our scripture reading this morning from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Just then a religion scholar stood up with a question to test Jesus. Teacher, what do I need to do to get eternal life? He answered, what's written in God's law? How do you interpret it? He said, well, that you love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and muscle and intelligence, and that you love your neighbor as well as you do yourself. Good answer, said Jesus. Do it and you live. Looking for a loophole, listen to this, looking for a loophole, he asked. Now, and just how would you define neighbor? And Jesus answered by telling a story. There was once a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. On the way, he was attacked by robbers, and they took his clothes, beat him up, and went off, leaving him half dead. Luckily, a priest was on his way down the same road, but when he saw him, he angled across to the other side. Then a Levite, religious man, showed up, and he also avoided the injured man. A Samaritan traveling the road came on him, and when he saw the man's condition, his heart went out to him. He gave him first aid, disinfecting and bandaging his wounds, and then he lifted him onto his donkey, led him to an inn, and made him comfortable. And in the morning, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take good care of him. If it costs any more, put it on my bill. I'll pay you on my way back. What do you think? Which of the 3 became a neighbor to the man attacked by robbers? The one who treated him kindly, the religion scholar responded. Jesus said, go and do the same. And here ends the reading. May God help us to really understand and apply God's will to all our lives. Brother, sister in Christ, love is never words alone. In a Peanuts comic strip, Lucy saw Snoopy shivering out in a snowstorm beside an empty food dish. He was looking longingly, expectantly toward the house. Then Lucy came out and said, go in peace, be warmed and filled. Then she turned and went back into the house and slammed the door. And in the last frame, you see a confused Snoopy looking toward the house, shivering, still hungry, and utterly baffled. As I said, love is never words alone. If ever there was a story in the Bible that needs very little explanation, then it is the one about the Good Samaritan. I'm sure we know it by heart, all of us. We've heard it so many times. It's part of our lives. It was part of our upbringing. We know the contents. We agree with the conclusion. And many of us can say, well, our hearts are open for those in need. When tragedy strikes, when natural disasters occur, when war and famine devastates the lives of many, we are at our most efficient. Our hearts open wide, our pocketbooks as wide as we can afford. We refuse to take a backseat to anyone. But wait a minute. You and I cannot tell the story of the Good Samaritan as an illustration of how righteous, kind, and generous we are. If you move into the story, you discover that this is actually a different story. And it was also painted in the circumstances of those days. It goes much, much deeper. It's actually about the religious scholar representing the Sanhedrin, which is the supreme judicial and ecclesiastical council of ancient Jerusalem. And what this guy was doing, he was actually underway to set a trap for Jesus. He was out to lure Jesus into a minefield to see if he could get Jesus to say something that would break the strict laws that governed the lives of the faithful Jewish believers of that time. So, his ears were pointed. He was ready to say, gotcha. However, the Bible tells us that Jesus turned the table. He simply answered, love your neighbor as you love yourself. These words are loaded. Don't listen and think, oh yeah. Love your neighbor, how? As you love yourself. And then the scholar realized that he was the one who stepped right into a trap. This is too much, what Jesus just said. Too much. That was more than he was taught. That's more than he was willing to do. So he thought, maybe I can argue myself out of this trap that Jesus set. Was there possibly a loophole in the law? You see, this is now one of the rabbis asking himself, how do I get by this? Where's the loophole? I need it right now. Well, tell me then, who is my neighbor? You see, I found this so amazing when you study this, how Jesus actually set the trap for him, and suddenly the door was open. The rabbi was asking Jesus. He's supposed to be the teacher, but he's asking, well, who is my neighbor? See, now Jesus was ready to tell a story that reveals the differences in attitudes of people even in our times. And when you break this further apart, there are actually three philosophies of life at play in Jesus' story. Now, the robber, what was his philosophy? Oh, easy to say. What you have is mine, and I'm going to take it. That was his life's philosophy. the priest and the Levite that walked by, they held the philosophy that what's mine is mine and I'm going to keep it. The Samaritan's philosophy was, what is mine is also yours and I'm going to share it. So the question of the priest and the Levite was, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? However, the Good Samaritan reversed the question. If I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him? And now Jesus was satisfied. Now he sanctioned the Samaritan's philosophy. Go then, said Jesus. Go and do likewise. We cannot get away from this. That's the gospel that we grew up with. That's the story that our parents told. That's a story we're telling our children and their children. Go and do likewise. Oh, may it be that God challenges us through His Spirit this very morning to remember there's a command for us, a loving command. Go then, what the Samaritan did. I want you to do likewise. In 1882, the famous scientist Louis Pasteur conducted an intense search for a cure for rabies. While he was a child, a wild wolf with rabies raged through his boyhood village, bringing agony and death to some of his neighbors. So for 3 long years, in spite of his deep-seated fears, he risked his life working with mad dogs. What happened? At last, Pasteur came through with a vaccine to cure the victims of rabies. On a July night in 1886, he tried his first injection on a little boy whose life seemed doomed. And the little boy survived. He lived. See what happened? The remembered agony of his neighbors spurred Louis Pasteur to find a cure for the dread disease. Lucy wished Snoopy well and then slammed the door in his face. While Louis Pasteur sought and finally found a cure. Brother, sister in Christ, there is a difference between these two attitudes. The simplest formula for the good life ever given came from the lips of Jesus. Love God above all else and love your neighbor as yourself. So this power is yours and mine for the taking. You and I can only be as God intended us to be when we begin to identify with the person lying bruised and beaten beside the road. Then we also discover that this Christ is also our Samaritan, binding up our broken hearts and lives. Christ, our Samaritan, yours and mine. In this world of ours, the way that love functions is fully dependent on our interpretation of the question, who then is your neighbor? That's my question to you right now. I wrestled with it myself. Now it's your turn. Tell me, who then is your neighbor? Jesus asked, what do you think? Which of the three became a neighbor to the man attacked by robbers? The one who treated him kindly, the religion scholar responded. And then Jesus said, go and do the same. Jesus actually turned the heart of this rabbi, changed his attitude, and finally he got it. And then Jesus simply had to say, go then. That's what I want you to do from now on. So what is the conclusion of all this? Your neighbor, my neighbor, is the person who needs us, irrespective of race, color, orientation, or creed. I expect to pass through this world but once. Any good thing, therefore, that I can do, or any kindness that I can show to my fellow creatures, let me do it now. Let me not defer or neglect it, for I shall not pass this way ever again. Let us pray. Gracious, loving God, thank you for still loving us and for our many experiences of your love. So many times you've been the Samaritan binding up our broken hearts and lives. O God, give us the vision and the willingness to be your ambassadors in this world and to do unto others as you have done to us. You gave us the freedom to decide whether and how to grow, to love, to hate, and to think for ourselves. A joyful and terrible gift you gave us, O God. We need to choose. We need to choose. Even today, this morning, we now ask, give us courage to choose life and love. We would choose love because love is life and joy. This is our prayer with thanksgiving, the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.